Very good. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me in this pleasant evening. I hope you're having a pleasant evening as well, at least weather-wise on your end. I know we have people from different parts of the country, so it's always a pleasure. It's been a nice day, relatively down here in Southern California, so no complaints about that. I know some of you are going through tougher weather patterns at the moment, especially this week. My name is Danny Bate-Orr. I'm your host. I'm your speaker tonight. And before we jump in, I just want to say I encourage questions. I love questions. I'll be happy to take your questions. Due to the format of a presentation and Zoom, it's a little bit more challenging to do it while I speak. Plug them into the chat if you can. Hopefully, if you want to ask your question, we'll get it when we get to the Q&A. I'll definitely be happy to take your question verbally. So no problem with that. And once we're done with the presentations, we'll dive back or circle back to the questions. Your questions can be relevant to the topic and can be other things related to real estate investing. Hopefully, we will keep it within real estate world and not worlds that I am not familiar with. I wouldn't be able to contribute much. With that being said, let's share the screen and start our presentation. Give me one moment. Okay, very good. Let me just set it up properly here that we have everything. Excellent. Okay. Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me. We're going to talk about the topic of entities or more LLCs, something that I know is kind of burning question or burning issue or repetitive challenge with many investors. In a moment, I'll tell you how I tackle, or the whole purpose of this presentation for me is to kind of explain how I, over the years, decided to tackle this concept of LLCs. I've dealt with it quite a bit. So we'll dive into that in a moment. I just want to say, to keep it in a very brief understanding, I am not an attorney. I am an investor. I do not provide any legal advice here. So don't use this as a platform to get, you know, an actual advice, because, you know, situations are vary. So I'm trying to bring information, knowledge, experience, and I'll introduce myself in a moment, just for my journey of the past 22 years as an investor in real estate with capacity or different type of investments, and put some perspective, put some information, put some understanding into this whole concept that many of us, beginners and experienced, are questioning or diving into when it comes to the world of entities and LLCs. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. We're going to talk about creating some clarity with the world of LLCs, some consideration when to choose, not to choose, you know, and we'll open up to questions. So my name is Danny Bate-Orr. I live in Southern California, Orange County, California. I have been a real estate investor for the past 22 years. In the US. I've started investing while being a young engineer living in Europe. So started buying remotely or out of country, in times where Google was a startup, Zillow didn't exist, Zoom didn't exist. So those things are things that were not as accessible to us investors when I got started. Bought my first rental property completely in another state, in another country, a different language, different time zone, different cultural gaps and knowledge gaps and many, many other gaps in the just outside of Phoenix, Arizona. That was in 2002. And wow, this one property, I fell in love with real estate, with real estate investing. And I decided to pursue this full time, leaving my engineering, I don't want to be offensive to anyone. I found my job not boring, but just unchallenging for me, and decided to switch and pursue this real estate, US real estate. And that's what I've been doing mainly, or not mainly, only in a large capacity for the past 20 years, since 2004, when I moved to the States. Since 2004 until now, I have personally invested in many states. I have helped and guided and mentored other investors buying primarily long-term single-family homes, duplexes, fourplexes, primarily in multiple U.S. metros. You're just seeing some of the states we are in, and we're still doing the same today. So we're still doing pretty much the same thing for the past 20 years. It's all about keep refining it, keep improving it, doing it better, smarter, more efficiently. So there's always apparently I've been just improving my own business for so many years, and I guess I will never stop. That's part of the nature of the beast. I just want to give you a little bit of a warning. This presentation was not generated by AI. I am a real person. You can maybe consider it as a DI, Danny intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Nothing here was sent to, through the AI engine. This is all based on actual experience, actual thinking process, actual trial and error of my own, of others. So there's no AI involved here. If you're expecting something like this, I apologize. It's just going to be good old school knowledge, experience, etc. I want to share some of the resources that we have and that we put out for our public. And those are YouTube channel with a lot of videos. This video is going to be there as well. Actually, it's going to be public for about 10 days, and then it goes into the private phase. We have a podcast channel with, I'd say, 150 episodes or more. Our website, our auxiliary website with properties. Recently, we launched a Telegram channel to find another way to send out information. So you are most welcome to consume or subscribe to any of those channels to get more information. I will tell you, when we put information out there, usually or always, it's knowledge, it's sharing, teaching. We're not very good with sales pitches. So if you're looking for genuine information with actual experience, this is all what we are putting out, actual information and not just sales pitches or kind of very little slim information and a lot of a lot of hoo-ha. That's not what we are about. In my career of 20 years, the number two most asked question that I get is, do I need an LLC? Now, I want to emphasize that. When I get this question, it comes up in every lecture or class that I teach, in almost every conversation that I have with a new beginner investor of ours, someone who's just like an introduction call, it almost always comes up. So that means if I would count, if I had a counter, how many times I was asked this question or something along those lines, my guess is going to be well in the 1,000 or not or more times, probably even more. So that tells me it is something that bothers or bugs a lot of people, obviously. When I was a beginner or in the first few years of me being an investor, I attended and I still do attend from time to time real estate classes, investment clubs, webinars, seminars, whatever. And every once in a while, I run across an attorney. And I have had those attorneys come and speak to our clubs as well over time. And in many cases, this attorney follows the traditional sales pitch procedure, is come in, impress everybody, scare the heck out of everybody, and sell some products, some service. You know, at the end, how I, the attorney, can save you, can save you by you using my services to open an LLC. And tonight, it's only going to cost you $2,500. And if you bring a friend, blah, blah, blah. You guys probably been exposed to that. For years, I kind of sat on the sideline or sat in the closed classes, heard the pitch, kind of bought into it, but not fully buying into it because I always know, I always think there's more to it than that's just what an attorney says in a 1 hour sales pitch. Maybe 15 years ago or so, maybe a little bit less, I was sitting with a friend, a colleague from the industry in Phoenix, And we were having a drink after an event, and we were just kind of chatting. We're good friends. We know each other for a long time. And I don't know how the conversation of LLCs comes up. And he goes, don't you think there's a lot of BS around it? Don't you think it's like really hyped? And I was really amazed that he was kind of reading into the feeling, the thoughts that I was having about the LLC altogether. And I truly, truly think entities or LLCs in our world of real estate are hyped, too much hyped, and in almost to the point that it sounds like it's the perfect thing for everything. And I do not agree with that assumption. By the way, I have nothing against entities or LLC whatsoever. I have a lot against people just pitching it as the solution for everything, or you must have an LLC, or start with an LLC and bring the property later. I just don't agree with those statements. I agree with the statement that we need to think and understand and find out if this idea of entity LLC will serve you on a case by case. And that's what I will try to open your mind towards in this presentation. So, LLC, right? My first request for you, don't put it on the pedestal. It's a great tool, it's a great vehicle, and we should probably know when to use it. But this is not the perfect or the bulletproof that sometimes it is pretended to be. Let's talk about LLCs for a moment. So, anytime when I get asked, and remember, this is not an attorney speaking, I am not the one who's going to dive into creating your asset protection plan. I'm just someone who's been reading, using, asking, and executing different aspects of different ways of investing. When I talk to clients or in events and I ask, why do you need an LLC? Most times I get a more of a question mark face. People don't even necessarily know. They just heard. They just someone told them. I call it the copy paste of ideas. Sometimes they say, well, it's for asset protection or for hiding assets or for taxation or something else. So there are always reasons why this could be irrelevant to you, not related to the type of property, but related to something that's happening on your end that's important to you. From my standpoint, it could be a good vehicle, but is it the one that you need? Let's try and uncover and kind of discuss that during this presentation. So at least we are questioning, is this something that is needed for you? So why would we wanna, what are the advantages of using an LLC? Well, it creates a separate entity as almost like a different person. It's not a person, it's an entity. It's separating the activity inside the entity, the LLC, from me. It's dividing, it's separating. Good. That's a good benefit. Taxation typically, and it doesn't have to be like this. There's several ways how we can structure the taxation when it comes to entities and LLCs. But technically, if we keep it simple, for tax purposes, it's considered a transparent entity. It flows directly from the activity of the entity onto my own personal taxation. So in a way, I'm able to separate the activity inside the LLC from my personal life, which is great in many ways. But tax-wise, it's a kind of simple for me to handle, almost in a sense that I don't really need separate tax returns. We many times produce separate tax returns for the entity, but just for the understanding part of it. What are some of the disadvantages? Well, it's a little bit of a hustle to form and to pay and to make sure we continuously pay and set up a registered agent and maybe do the taxation. So it's not that complicated. It's not that hustle. It's not that expensive. Maybe California is a little bit more expensive. For me, it's just one more thing that I need to take care of, one more thing that I need to pay on an annual basis, one more thing. So me, Danny, the investor, sometimes I like to simplify my life. And if I can avoid that additional administration, even if it's simple, inexpensive, and easy to do, I still, it's one less thing to worry about, right? So that's just one small disadvantages. It could create an insurance complexity, not always. I can tell you, for an example, just earlier today, about 2 or 3 hours ago, one of my clients reached out and said, listen, I do have a lot of my properties inside an LLC. I'm shopping around for an umbrella. I have multiple properties. I'm having a hard time finding an umbrella policy that will take on my LLC, my LLCs, because that's considered a commercial activity. So there are nuances, but is it solvable? Yes. Is it something that creates one more layer of complexity? Absolutely. So that's the whole point of when I say, for example, insurance complexity, even simple insurance policy, sometimes with an entity would be underwrite a little bit differently, maybe even a little bit, you know, expensive. Solvable, a little bit more hustle, right? And the last thing that many of you probably heard, technically, and I'm using the term technically, when we buy a property with conventional mortgages, the Fannie, Freddie, most common mortgages that we can get with the probably the best terms that we can get these days, those type of mortgages do not, those types of lender do not want to lend to an entity. They want a person or someone that will guarantee the mortgage and not an entity. That's why they're not willing to do it. Can you work around it? Can you find ways how to still get it under your name and put it into an entity? Yes, you can. There's some consequences when we do that, but it's, you know, it's something that, again, doable, creates a little bit more complexity. So mortgages to begin with is not conventional mortgages. When we're talking about the residential properties, it is not something that favor LLCs. If you are doing a commercial building or a commercial loan, those are actually typically do like LLCs and are accustomed to work as an LLC. But the rates of those mortgages or the terms of those mortgages are going to be less favorable comparing to the traditional conventional residential mortgage. Now, one of the things that I hear from investors about why they're considering LLC is the concept of asset protection. And maybe this is the most common point that people bring. It provides asset protection. And I want to give you a little bit understanding or thinking how I look at what you or I call an asset protection plan. And I apologize. I see that the bottom part of the pyramid doesn't show number one, just a property insurance. So when we're talking about a protection plan or a scheme surrounding our property or properties, it's usually, I see it as consisted of several layers. Layer number one, regular insurance, property insurance, right? We all know it. We're all familiar with it. I would call it a necessary evil, but it's a necessary evil, but it's there. It could be more expensive, less expensive, more coverage, less coverage. It's there. It's one of those items that's number one at the bottom. We got to make sure we're buying with property insurance. If we buy with a mortgage, not cash, the lender will not let us keep the property without, hang on 1 second. I see that we have some interruptions here. Not sure how to delete that. Hopefully that won't be a problem again. Okay. Okay, so property insurance at the bottom, number one. Number two, we might as well add an umbrella insurance, an additional liability coverage. Umbrella insurance is something that usually we have to put our own primary residence, if we have one, or renter insurance, assuming we are renting our car or cars into it, and only then we can start adding additional rental properties for an additional liability insurance or coverage. Just so you know, generally speaking, umbrella or additional liability coverage is inexpensive, right? Relatively, it's inexpensive. It's something that costs you starting with few hundred dollars a year, and the more properties you add, it will add to the cost of it, but not in the hundreds of dollars per property per year. So it's inexpensive to have. I call it a no-brainer. The number three is what I think is one of the best tools at your disposal, and many investors just don't use it. And it's called keep your property in a well condition, or take care of your property. It's taking care of you. I want to give you an example. Last week, I did a walkthrough, just an annual walkthrough that I initiated in one of my properties in Florida without any expectation to see anything special. I just wanted to make sure everything is fine. I want eyes on the properties. I want someone to look and send me a report. And when I get the report, I see that in one of the bathrooms, there are few dots of what I suspect it's a mold, right? So it's few dots, it's not a big deal, but it's still mold, or it's or a beginning of mold. For me, that's immediate raising, it's a concern. Why? First of all, I have a tenant and a super nice guy in this house. I don't want anything to happen to them. That's just generally speaking how I perceive things. More specifically, if this can be something that will affect me as an owner. So immediately when I saw those dots, I started, was it yesterday or today, finding something, communicating with the tenant, making sure we're troubleshooting the situation, what's going on with it. And I think tomorrow someone, tomorrow, the following day, someone, two people, two vendors will head out there to investigate, because I don't want it just to clean it. I want to terminate the source, the root of the problem. So that is an example where I'm taking action to maintain my property, to make sure if there's a liability, the best way is to just fix the problem and not even get to the point that I have to use my insurance or not use my insurance, or have or question, will my LLC save me or not? Right? So those three parameters, insurance, umbrella insurance, keeping up your property, those are at your control. The cost of them, those items, is relatively simple, cheap, inexpensive, and you can shop around and maintain it, and you can shop around and get a better coverage, and you can shop, make sure your property is well taken care of and you're not neglecting. If we are not neglecting the property, the chances of us needing to find out if we should have had an LLC or should not have had an LLC is already at minimum, right? So now, in my overall protection plan, I may want to consider adding an LLC right there on the top, but I wouldn't do it before taking care of the three other items first, because I do believe and I do think that if we have a property and we are just neglecting it, and something happens, and it should end up, or it may end up in court, a judge may say, just the fact you have it, just the fact you're using, you're under an entity, an LLC, doesn't mean we cannot, lift the veil and actually say you've been neglectful about the property. So from what I understand, again, not an attorney, LLC is not like a full protection. Nothing's going to happen. It's another layer in the scheme of protecting our asset, our property. So keep in mind, just because I'm using LLC doesn't mean I can be a neglectful owner and not take care of things, because that may still result of being on the hook. Plus, nobody wants to be in a situation to begin with that we have to defend something that we did or did not do. So in basic insurance, umbrella insurance, proactively maintain your property. I want to emphasize it. Proactively maintain your property. Even if you are using a property manager, this is still your responsibility and not the property manager responsibility. All right. It's your property first, his responsibility second, or is, under his responsibility second, and then possibly consider integrating an LLC. Now, I have someone kind of asking me right now, What does umbrella cover that property insurance doesn't? Well, basic property insurance covers usually if something breaks, if the tenant vandalizes the house, if there is a theft, if the if there's a weather damage to the roof, weather damage to the windows, water pipe inside breaks or freezes, water sewer line breaks, stuff like this, and obviously fire. If there's a fire or a situation of fire, and on the top of that, it also has liability coverage. Liability coverage, something happens to the tenant or someone that comes on the property, they get injured, and they may sue or claim that they got hurt, and it's because of the property, and they're going to go after the owner for saying, hey, you got to pay me whatever for me coming to visit your tenant and falling off the stairs. And it doesn't, by the way, it's not necessarily has to do with were you okay or not okay. It can just happen. And that's where we use the liability aspect. An umbrella is only liability or extended liability. Extended, for example, typical insurance policy has typically $300,000 liability coverage. An umbrella may come on the top of that and say, I will extend your coverage or liability coverage from 300,000 to 500, to 750, to $1 million. You can increase it, and that will add an additional liability coverage. And it also covers your primary residence or rental, your where you live, your car or cars, and actually other things in your life. It kind of creates that umbrella coverage. So it's part of it, or most main, one of the main reasons people use it is because it adds additional liability coverage to the rental properties, but it so happens it covers some of your personal properties as well. All right, let's talk about some of the considerations. Why would you consider yes or no? And I'll try to throw in some examples. What are you protecting, right? So for example, are you protecting yourself, other assets? Are you protecting something within the property? So ask yourself, what are you protecting? And if you can attach some sort of a value, like monetary value, to what you're protecting, that will help you decide if it's worth using the LLC or law or not. If you're buying residential, it's a little bit more tricky to navigate it with mortgages. If you're buying commercial type of real estate, it's almost obvious or expected that you will do it through an LLC. So in the commercial mean commercial world and commercial lending. You can, by the way, side note, you can use commercial lending on residential properties, but it's still under the commercial lending guidelines. Commercial lending and commercial properties are accustomed or usually or typically expecting for you to own it through some entity such as an LLC. We talked about the conventional mortgage, of course, no need to add to that. And then what I would also ask myself, what is the risk I am taking? So it's a risk kind of a question. So for example, every time I flipped houses in the past, I always assumed that a flipping event or a flipping investment is a higher risk because there are more moving parts, there are more maybe construction and tools and people come in in different times. That for me just says, listen, this is a higher risk, higher chances of something going wrong type of an activity. I would want to consider putting it in an LLC. It fits that situation. When I am buying good, nice rental properties in a B school community area that it's well maintained, and I'm using a residential conventional mortgage, the risk is low. There's never zero risk. The risk is low or lower. And because of the settings and because I'm taking care of my property, the chances of me thinking that I have to use an LLC are smaller, right? I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying it's not something that I would necessarily automatically assume that I have to do. Now, one of the things that I've seen, and I still run into it every once in a while, is someone that calls me up and say, "Hey, I'm so excited to get started. I already have my LLC ready." And I'm like, "Oh my God, why would you do that? Why are you wasting?" For me, listen, if you buy your, if you, you know, you're setting up your LLC first, it's not terrible, but I think it's a waste of time and energy on the wrong, on the secondary things, not on the major important things. Because many times when I speak to someone who tells me they already have an LLC, well, guess what? You open it in Wyoming and you're maybe gonna end up buying in Missouri. Now you need to register the Wyoming in Missouri. It doesn't give you all the necessary benefits anyway to do it through a Wyoming. Maybe it actually complicates things for you. There's, you know, I don't, I'm not comfortable to give you one answer or another, but it's not necessarily that you have to do it this way. Start in Wyoming and open, you know, and register in Missouri. That may not be ideal for what you're trying to do. My rule of thumb is if I'm buying in Missouri and I think that, and I need an entity or an LLC in Missouri, let me just open it in Missouri as might as well just keep it simple and open it in Missouri. So why would I open an entity somewhere before I know what or where I'm going to buy? It just doesn't make that much sense to me. Now, one of the things that I've always asked the attorneys that I spoke to or came and spoke to us, to my group over the years, was let's just say I start by buying no LLC, you know, my own name in obviously in one of the states. And now it's rented, it's stabilized. I'm starting to think, should I buy, should I put in a, should I, you know, transfer it to an LLC or not? Talk to an attorney, make, you know, make a determination, should I do it or not? Let's just say I decide that I want to transfer it to an LLC, but I own it under my own name. Can I make the changes after the fact? Yes. There is some tricky aspect to it, and let me just emphasize two of them, but it's possible. Some of the tricky aspect of it that I would like you to be aware, and that's something that rarely I hear people talk about it. One is technically, when you are transferring title to your property into an LLC or something else, technically, you are breaching contract, breaching the mortgage contract. The mortgage contract has a clause, says due on sale clause. That's one of the triggers of the clause. You can probably fight it, you can probably mitigate it, you can probably avoid it, whatever, but it's there. So just be aware of that. Now, in my career, I've only seen twice, and many years ago, two times that I've seen a letter from the bank sending it to a person saying, "You are violated or breached the due on sale clause, and you have to pay the mortgage in full in 30 days." I've seen it twice. If you're kind of freaking out by now, I'll tell you, I think that if I've seen it only twice, it probably means it's a rare event. I want you to be aware, but it's something that can happen. But I know people do it, and I think that there is a probably different ways how you can get around through that point. The second point that I want to mention, and I think few people are aware of that, if you know, very few, at least what I've seen over the years, and I want you to pay close attention here. If you're changing title to the property from your name to an entity LLC, right? Let's just say to an LLC. The minute you make any changes to the title of the property, your title policy is no longer in effect. Okay, I've seen at least once that I can remember, someone made the change, not in the right way, and then actually something happened with it, with his property, and title told him, "We're sorry." Now it should have been if he did, if this person would have not changed the title to his trust in that case, right? Or to his trust, the title company would have taken care of the problem because that was under their insurance policy and responsibility. But he made this small mistake. Now, how can you avoid that? Well, number one, be aware, right? Now you're aware. Number two, don't do it yourself, which you could, or you could do it yourself. What I suggest, reach out to the title company. Reach out to the one that was there to close the deal. Work with them. They will make it easy for you and at a discount. Why it's going to be the discount? Because you're practically doing very little with documents they already have. They have everything they need. They just need you to sign a document that they'll send it over to you. And it's pretty simple and straightforward for them. So they will help you, and along the way, will make sure that they don't charge you again for the title policy, and will help you keep the cost at, low and do it properly. So the best way to avoid a mistake, work with your title company on making those changes and make sure you're getting the discount, because practically it's the same thing you're already kind of been doing, your minimal changes, right? So just keep that in mind. Okay, we have some we're going to take some questions, and before we take questions, I just want to mention a couple of things. Number one, I just want to show you about us, Simply Do It, my company, that we help investors buy rental properties, long-term rental properties, single-family homes, duplexes, fourplexes, etc., throughout the country. Every red dot that you see is actually a rental property one of our clients own. I think this list is not fully updated. It's probably about 2 months old, so there are a few are missing, but it still shows you a good representation. Every blue mark is actually a flip property. So you can see there's a lot of mainly rentals, few flips in multiple parts of the country. That's what we do with our clients. We help them buy long-term investment properties in different parts of the country. Nowadays, we're primarily focused on the greater Nashville area, the St. Louis area, Kansas City area, Birmingham, Alabama, and few others. And when I say when we are focusing on those areas, we have vetted property management companies on the ground, vetted, trained by us, realtors that know or that are certified or knowledgeable about investment properties, not just being a realtor, but specifically investment properties, and lenders, inspectors, insurance people, etc. We are not going to open you the LLC. You can probably do that by yourself, but I just want to tell you, show you that this is what we do. Simply Do It. We help our clients buy long-term rental properties in different parts of the country. We support our clients before they start investing, while we're looking and reviewing and determining which properties to buy, and then we stay and help and support and answer and resolve situations after they buy and they own the property for the years to come. Now that you know a little bit more about us, and before I move into these questions that you may have, I hopefully you have, if you wanna meet with us in person, you're most welcome to sign up for 30 to 45 minutes. We call it a strategy session. It's with me or Jessica that works with me. We're gonna talk to you about your specific situation, your specific needs, your questions or concerns. We kind of take it to a more of an intimate environment where you can sign up. We're gonna chat, see if what we are doing at Simply Do It can benefit you as an investor. Hopefully, maybe yes, maybe no. My promise to you, this is a very specific, pragmatic conversation. We can do it Zoom, phone, in person. And if you're in Southern California, no sales pitches. We're not going to offer you books or tapes or a weekend or anything like that. It's truly one-on-one, kind of getting to see if we can help you accomplish what you're trying to do as a real estate investor. We work with beginners, we work with foreigners, we work with advanced or experienced one as well. We can help you no matter which stage you're in. Okay. This is my contact information. I'll circle back to it. And if we have any questions now, I'll be happy to take them. You can put them in the chat here if you have, or I'll leave my contact information, or we're going to circle back to the main screen. Give me a moment. Okay, very good. Okay, are there any questions? Contact info again. Yes, 1 second, please. That's an easy one. All right. I'm sure I need one to break the ice. Okay, in what situation? Thank you, Tal. In what situation the LLC does protect you? Well, based on what I know about LLCs in my career, let's just say you did everything okay, you took care of the property, and something happens. Let's just say I'll share a story that I've heard once. So all my career, what I didn't say earlier, when I got asked the question of the entities and LLCs in every event, I always before answer, and you know what, I should ask you guys as well, I always ask, can anyone give me a story, a real story, a real situation, not a friend of a friend of a friend that heard it from some meeting, that they have been in a situation where something happened and on their property that because of the LLC, it kind of saved the day, or not having an LLC, cost them the property. Always I ask, and by the way, I ask you, I'm asking everybody here, if you have a story, please share it with me. So far, I received two stories. One story was something related to the security deposit. It was just a ridiculous, irrelevant story. Another story, and that's the only story that I have to date, that one of my friends, I'm not gonna name names, had a property, or maybe still do, somewhere in Colorado. Someone crossed their front yard and broke their leg. That person sued the insurance for $50,000, and the insurance settled on $25,000. Right? So that's the only story, in my 20 years that I have, that finally, okay. And then when that person was asked, when I asked this investor friend, did you have an LLC? Did the LLC save the day? He said, I didn't even have an LLC. Okay? It just happened. It was fell under the liability protection of the insurance and was settled and done. So what I'm trying to say, I think that me being on stages and events like this one, asking about stories where the LLC either saved the day or not saved the day, and not really able to find a lot of those stories, kind of gives me like, what the heck is going on here with this LLC idea? Now, just because I wasn't able to find it, I'm sure those stories exist. I'm not trying to say don't LLC or whatever. I'm just saying the mere fact that they're not that common. And I'm not talking about an attorney sharing their fear stories, but actual real people, they're not that common, gets me thinking. Now, I'm sure there are stories, and I'm sure that if you have an LLC versus not having an LLC, and you've been in a situation that the tenant is suing you or something that happened on the property is suing you, it will help protect the situation. I'm sure. I'm just trying to put everything a little bit in perspective. So hopefully, Tal, you were able to, from the example, to get an answer from my example. All right, Tal, thank you. Moving on. If I don't do an LLC, would having a separate personal account be a good idea for separating finances? A lot of bank requires an LLC to start a business loan. Okay. A little bit complicated question for me, but I'll let's put it this way.
I'm sorry. That was my question. I meant to say to start a business checking account.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying, Judy. I'm going to say this. I think it's healthy practice to open an account, call it a checking account for your real estate activity. Now, personally, I'm a little bit extreme. Not extreme. I use for every asset, I use a separate bank account. The reason I do it this way, it's not that it's something that a lot of people do, is primarily for a couple of reasons. Number one, I have an accountant that sits on my banking activity, and he's such a meticulous guy. He only knows to speak and read line item in the account. So this way, I can divide and conquer every real estate activity. It's a lot of accounts, and he can easily go without bothering me. So it's a little bit inconvenient setting it up and done. Okay. And very easy to audit for me to go back and check and audit. When I had it in one account, multiple activity, every time he had a question, oh my God, what a challenge. So right there for me, for my activity, I found a system that works for me, an account per real estate activity, typically a prop per property. Again, you don't have to follow my advice here. You got to find your own method. Judy, maybe the best way for you, sorry for picking on you, is creating an account for all your real estate activities. Let's just call it four rentals. I don't know. And that's fine. If that's comfortable for you and you are able to separate it from your own personal activity in life and the real estate activity, that's a good start, in my opinion. You may want to go one step further, like myself, but you don't have to. So right there, you created that, separation between personal and real estate activity. Now, if you have your property in an entity, an LLC, you might as well open a bank account for that LLC, which is just a new account application with some forms, and they want to see the EIN for the LLC. They want to see the operating agreement and maybe a resolution about bank opening a bank account. It's a little bit annoying. Again, administrative annoyance. So if you have your property in an LLC, might as well open a bank account for the LLC and connect the two. So that's just what makes sense to me, because all the setup exists. If you don't have an LLC, I would just say a separate bank account could be a good idea to kind of divide and conquer the activity for those purposes. So purposes. Judy, if I wasn't that clear or was not able to answer, please jump in or put your question again. I'll be happy to clarify.
Oh, so you're saying like a separate personal checking account would be sufficient just to separate.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah,
All right.
yeah. That's my opinion. Yes, I think that should be as simple as that. Okay, will land trust be a better way to hold title? Madeline, I love that question. I have done, I want to say 20 land trust myself, maybe 30. I can remember a lot. It's hard for me, as much as I digest, sorry, I investigated the world of LLCs, entities, and land trust. What I understand as an investor, as a person, not as a legal person, is that a trust doesn't provide you the same protection or separation as an LLC. So, what I would question if you talk to a legal person is maybe focus and ask the question of, tell me what would LLC protect me and not protect me versus what trust would protect me and not protect me, right? So it's, I'm asking the same thing, but it's relevant to each type of entity and what it falls under the protection and what falls outside of the protection. Be very specific with the questions. Professionals like attorneys and CPAs, if we know to ask the questions well, we're going to get good answers. If we are just calling for advice and we're not asking specific questions, the answer will be, it sounds like a good idea, right? Which for me, it's a terrible answer, just personally. So just as an advice. Now, I will tell you this, because I've done a lot of the land trust, what I love about land trust is the simplicity. I generated a set of documents, I have it signed or notarized, and I'm ready. It's easy to open, it's easy to dissolve, so to speak. It's easy to set up, it's easy to change. It's for me, it was a type of an LLC, but in a very simplified way. That's why I chose LendTrust, because it fit the flexibility of setting up a LendTrust to how I was going about buying flip properties worked very well. Personally, I loved it. I always knew that it's not going to give me the same protection like the LLC without knowing exactly what is protected or not. So the details. So that's something, Madeline, I would suggest you take with more of a professional, the professional, like an attorney. Jennifer, thank you for the comment. I agree. The comment is, I'm so happy to hear who someone who is not pushing this as the only way to go. Thank you, sister, I guess. I agree. Will you send the presentation to us? Yes. If anybody that wants to receive it, when we are wrapping up, I'll go get the link. So wait a moment or two. Jennifer, I am considering working with a hard money lender on a purchase. Do I need to have an LLC to work with them? All right, very good question. It may be that your specific hard money lender will insist that you have an LLC, and it will be a condition for getting funded. So many of them do want, remember, this is not conventional mortgage. It's the opposite. So very likely that the hard money lender will insist it will be a condition for the mortgage. You have to ask them. Some hard money lenders will say, we don't really care. So you got to ask them, but a lot of them do want an entity, an LLC. They see it as a simpler way to protect their interests. Natasha, do you have LLCs for your real estate investment? When did you decide to start an LLC? Okay. The answer is I did had LLCs over time, many of them for different real estate activities. So at the moment, there's one active, if I'm not mistaken. But over the years, I've probably had open and closed probably 50 of them, maybe I don't know, 55, 60 LLCs. I can't remember exactly. So question number one, I hope I answered. When did you decide to start an LLC? If we're talking when to start with a relation to buying a property, of course, then there are two ways I would go about it. If I'm buying with a conventional mortgage and I still want to put my property into an LLC, I will focus on getting the property. And only after the fact of closing and when it's, done, the deal is done, start looking into transferring title. When I'm using conventional mortgage, that's probably going to be a direction you want to look into. I hope you heard me talk about a few minutes ago about how to use title properly in order to transfer title company in order to properly transfer the title of the property without making mistakes there. So that's just one aspect of it. If you're buying cash and you're not looking to get a conventional mortgage or you're buying with hard money, then you can definitely either start the LLC and then buy, have it ready. It usually takes 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And then you have the LLC ready and then you can buy the real estate. Sometimes what I do with my clients, we actually make the offer under the name of a LLC that doesn't exist. We just make sure the name is available. We find those weird names. Then we make the offer as if there is an LLC. And the minute we pass the due diligence period, the inspection period, we quickly go and set up the LLC according to the name that we already have searched and found, made sure is available. And again, that's why we use kind of not your generic names and have the LLC be completely set up and ready for closing. So we can navigate it. Opening an LLC in most states takes about, I'd say, 4 to 6 days. Some states takes a little bit longer, and some states will allow you to pay extra and do an expedite, which is more like 2 to 4 days, something like that. Okay. Do you have multiple tax returns based on each LLC? I'm going to be careful here, Amy, and say yes. You could. Typically, you would have it this way. But more specifically, it will circle back to your specific situation with partners, without partners. I think there's always a way to simplify the LLC return in some situations or make it a more of a full return in other situations. I feel a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I don't deal with that stuff on a day-to-day. That's why I have a CPA, an attorney for all those things. What I'm trying to do in this kind of class is to get you thinking or get you out of your comfort zone, not assuming you have to do things in a certain, you know, a certain way. Okay. And if the questions are going to get more technical, I'm going to be more and more uncomfortable answering because I'm outside of my comfort zone. All right. Next one. LLCs and Cs and S corporation are now being seriously attached by the new 2024 Corporate Trustworthy Act law, which become effective. Okay. It requires you to provide your personal, your personal and business contact information, as well as your assets and bank account information, which will be now tracked to watch your for money laundering and fraud. It is a serious invasion into our privacy and only ones being focused on with their business. Okay, I'm not going to read all of it. Thank you for putting it. I agree. I agree. With the privacy, invasion of privacy, and what this does, I'll just say that the way I look at it, beyond being annoyed, both for privacy and both for making me work more, I run a legitimate business. I run a legitimate operation with all my investments, so I have nothing to be concerned about beyond. You're annoying me by asking, not you, the government is annoying me by, I hate when they dive into my privacy and I hate that they make me work even more. But I agree with your comment. Thank you very much for sharing it. It's an important one. Let's see if we have any additional questions. I'm shocked. 1 hour to the minute that we are almost done. Amazing. That doesn't usually happen to me. Usually takes a little bit longer. All right, someone did ask the link for the presentation. If you wait for a moment, I'm going to go and reach out for it, get it. Give me a second, and I'll share it with you. So one moment, please. Okay, perfect. Here you go. Anyone wants to test that it's working? Hopefully, let's see that I send it to everybody. Hang on a second, please. Okay, I think I just sent it to one person. Interesting. One second. Okay. Hopefully, if anyone wants to make sure it's working, that'll be terrific. Let's see if we have any more. Okay. Now that we are done, I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to turn the table a little bit. So now I'm curious if you could tell me in the chat, where are you from, if you don't mind sharing that information? And are you beginner, advanced? And what kind of real estate are you focusing? I'm just curious always to know who is on those calls, what your activity like. So if you don't mind, share with me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, active, passive, investing, not investing, type of investment. That'll be terrific. Right, my friend. One friend already posted, and hopefully you recognized my story, your story. Bay Area, nice to see you. See you soon. Talk to you on Friday. Another friend, local. It's been almost 12 hours since we spoke this morning. So thank you. Okay, Toronto, Canada. Waiting to start this year. Toronto, Canada, interesting. You are maybe challenged, maybe not, with mortgages. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, just FYI. Gail, broker in New Jersey for 40 years, syndication and educate. Awesome, I love it. Thank you, Gail, for sharing for sharing that. Sounds interesting. Dublin, California, realtor. Learning about investing to educate my clients. Okay. Anytime you want to invite me to educate your client, of course, I'll be very pleased to do so. So thank you for sharing. Spencer from Kansas City. Originally from Kansas City, now in Austin. Very lovely two places. We are very active in Kansas City. And I was active for many years in Austin, not anymore. Active investor in New Jersey, single family, multifamily, construction. That's awesome. I love interacting with experienced investors. I hope this conversation, this class tonight, is even more contributing to your knowledge. Georgia, beginner. Thank you, CC. I love it. Thank you. Atlanta, investing, learning about this, or beginner. We will set up a call to chat with pleasure. Thank you very much for mentioning that. True beginner. Oh, thank you guys. I'm so enjoying reading all of those kind of feedback. Have two rental properties or beginners plus. Nice. Would love to get into investing in serious way. I need to learn it all. Learn it all. You're never going to learn it all. 20 years, I'm still learning. I live in California and I just got my real estate license. That's terrific. Good for you. Kudos. Yes, I know. Somebody's saying Austin is too expensive. Just yesterday, I had a conversation on strategizing two sales of properties in Austin through a 1031 exchange for one of our clients. So that was a healthy conversation. Boston, Massachusetts. Hopefully the weather is treating you well. Real estate entrepreneur, certified private money broker. That's awesome. Southern California, not fully active. Great. All right. Thank you very much, guys, for sharing. You know, I just because we're kind of going through all this conversation now, we started a Facebook group. I totally forgot about it. If you want to join, which is really something we wanted to do, is to bring the discussion, the interaction between investors in different stages in one place. I know there's so many of those groups, but a lot of them are just so, I don't know, messy. So if you want to join that group on Facebook for the discussion, that'll be terrific. Almost forgot that we have that. Houston, Texas, been a landlord mainly, but now more flipping. Nice. Good luck with flipping. That's always a challenge. I've done about 90 flips in my career. Many of them went well. 10 of them went horribly bad, to say the least, the typical story. So fair share of experience there as well. Well, first of all, guys, thank you very much for sticking around and thank you for sharing about yourselves. and your activity. That's always a pleasure to see the level of engagement and to see that people are active. You have my contact information. If you have any more questions before we wrap it up, use the last minute or two to put it in. I hope to see you in future events like this one. I hope to maybe interact with you on one of the social media, Facebook group, a YouTube channel, whatever. That'll be terrific. I see the details from my friend here. That's awesome. Nice. Got it. Sorry. Got it. Very good. Thank you, everyone. Special thanks to my friends that I know personally that I've not seen for quite some time or seen recently. So I really appreciate you joining and clients that decided to join as well. Have a terrific rest of your evening and rest of your week. And I really hope to see you guys online or in person very soon. Bye-bye.